Hello everyone, so I decided that I'm gonna give you the rest of the reasons why I have a heart for what is called sexual surrogacy, also known as sex surrogate partner therapy, also known as surrogate partner therapy. They're all interchangeable. I decided to be a sex surrogate partner because I truly have a heart for people like myself, because as you all know, when I was in my sexual past, one more thing about my sexual past and I'll get into the full episode. One of the gray areas of adultery was that many of the women were victimized by bad sex. They were victimized directly by sexual narcissism, sexual psychopathy, sexual sociopathy, and sexual psychopathy. And they tried to get their husbands, boyfriends, casual sex buddies to be sexual empaths, to be of sexual sacrificial giving, and to be of sexual sacrificial love, to be of sexual servant leadership. And their partners chose not to sexually lead by free sexual service. And what I mean by free sexual service, I mean without paying anything, just be sexually neighborly. And that is not what their partners were even remotely interested in. So that's why some of the women I was sleeping with in the past, they left their husbands, they left their boyfriends, they even ditched, D-I-T-C-H-E-D, they ditched their casual sex buddies too. And when they sought me out, I gave them sexual sacrificial giving, I gave them sexual sacrificial love. I was sexually neighborly to them. I gave them sexual servant leadership. I was sexually leading through free sexual service. I was a sexual empath to them. And so because of that, that's why many of the women I was with, they stopped having sex with other males. They stopped having sex with another male. And I was the only male that they would ever have sex with, because the other males were of sexual haughty spirits. They were sexually speaking, to be honest here, they were sexual bad trees bearing sexually bad fruit. They were sexual hypocrites. They were sexual vultures in human form. They were sexually blind guides. They were sexually blind fools. They were sexually demonic devils. They were sexual vermin in human form. They were sexual vipers in human form. They were basically sexual hired hands in human form. They were sexual whitewashed tombs. They were sexual sly foxes in human form. They were sexual wolves in sheep's clothing in human form. They were sexual thievery robbers in human form. They were basically sexual antichrists in human form. They were sexual hell on earth in human form. Again, they were sexual vultures in human form. They were of sexual lawlessness, and they were of sexual legalism. They wanted to sell a bill of sexual goods, and they were selling sexual pipe dreams. They were sexually gassing up the women. And lastly, they were sexual horror stories in human form themselves. The rest of my sexual past has been 100% communicated. Now let's get to the surrogate partner therapy at hand. So I decided to go to surrogatetherapy.org website. It says, a statement of IPSA purpose and mission. So IPSA supports a world International Professional Surrogate Association. One more time. International Professional Surrogate Association. Now you know what IPSA means. IPSA supports a worldwide community of professionals in the field of surrogate partner therapy, which includes surrogate partners, that'll be me in the future, therapists, I'll be working with them in the future, individuals, my future clients, in need of and support of a surrogate partner therapy, which I'll gladly be a part of time down the road. The purposes of our organization are, one, to make available to therapists surrogate partners who uphold professional ethics and meet professional qualifications. So, I decided to be a part of IPSA in the future because there are many people in the world who need a surrogate partner like myself. A lot of people, including my past sexual partners, have told me that I would make an excellent surrogate partner. I was an excellent surrogate partner to them. And I didn't even know I was having surrogate partner therapy type of erotic healing towards them. I was doing surrogate partner therapy, but informally. And I was there, and they were my surrogate partners. I told them, wow, you should do it too. And that's like, yeah, I'm gonna do this in the future. And I said I would do it in the future. So we were each other's surrogate partners, even though we were having sex with each other. We were sensually healing together without even knowing it. We were erotically healing together without even knowing it. And we were sexually repairing the damage without even knowing it. It says, two, to increase knowledge and acceptance of surrogate partner therapy in the therapeutic community and in the general public. That would definitely be me, because there's so many people that I didn't have sex with that told me, oh my God, Antonio, being a sex surrogate partner would really enrich my own eroticism and my own sensuality. And the fact that you would make an excellent neurodiverse surrogate partner, oh man, you would be of healthy sexual neurodiversity. You would be of healthy sexual neurodivergence. You'd be healthily sexually neurodistinct. Okay. 3, to elevate the professional standards and ethics of all surrogate partners. That is a heart that I have, because I am of erotic professionalism. I am of sensual professionalism, and I'm of sexual professionalism. Ooh. I had to take a therapeutic pause on that. It says 4, to promote professional standards for surrogate partner training. Ooh. I really, really also can recognize that that's my heart. It's my heart because I can be personal with you in a professional way. I can be intimate with you in a within law and reason fashion. I just keep uncovering and discovering my gifts, in this case my erotic gifts, my sensual gifts, even my sexual gifts. Hey, it says 5, to provide training for prospective and practicing surrogate partners and therapists. A lot of autism moms have told me that I should be an autism mom surrogate partner. An autism mom says, we need autism mom sex surrogate partner therapy. And Antonio is going to be our autism mom sex surrogate partner within the therapy. Whew. Okay, it says, 6. To conduct and participate in research related to surrogate partner therapy and sex therapy. A lot of survivors of rape, survivors of intimate partner sexual violence, survivors of domestic violence, survivors of domestic sexual violence, have told me in particular that me being their sex surrogate partner would show them that I would be helpful in eradicating erotic violence, sensual violence. Because erotic violent offending is unacceptable, and sensual violent offending is unacceptable too. They also said that I would be great at eradicating sexual Mortal Kombat and sexual warfare that happens to people like us. And they said, Tony, you would be excellent at ending rape culture violence. Then it says, you know, 7, to promote educational services for the professional development of IPSA members. I that's something I really know that I need to do. And because it's basically giving my clients up close and personal comprehensive sexuality education. In this case, I'm providing neurodiversity, neurodivergent, neurodistinct comprehensive sexuality education. I'm providing neurodiversity, neurodivergence, neurodistinct sex positivity movement. And there's a lot of women that have told me personally I should create neurodiversity, neurodistinct, neurodivergence, sex positive feminism. And I strongly agree with everyone in this case. It says, number 8, to facilitate client access to surrogate partner therapy information and referrals and to foster a feeling of fellowship cooperation within the organization. I can guarantee that I will never use sex surrogate partner therapy to sexually exploit. Hell no. To sex exploit? Hell no. That's not why I'm in it. I'm not in it to go around zooming clients, meet sexually speaking. That's not the purpose. My purpose is to work with people who are just like me. And it says, as members of IPSA, we are committed to promoting healthy attitudes towards sexuality and intimacy in our clients and in the community. That is a self-explanatory thoughtfulness right there. It says, to further our work in our own emotional well-being, we join together to provide support and assistance to each other in these endeavors. I mean, to be sexually soft-hearted, sexual soft-heartedness, that's what I'm about. I'm against sexual hard-heartedness and being sexually hard-hearted. Now, it says, let's talk about we know what the mission is, right? We really know what the mission is. Now it's time for us to learn what are the code of ethics, right? Here we go. It says, IPSA Code of Ethics. Each member of IPSA, when acting as a surrogate, shall adhere to the following ethical standards. So I'm going to agree to them for you all to hear. It says, number 1, the designation surrogate partner shall apply only in a therapeutic situation comprised of a client, surrogate, and supervising therapist. I strongly adhere to that. A surrogate partner may be designated to act as a substitute partner or a co-therapist, depending upon the agreement between the surrogate and the therapist. I strongly adhere to that because that's all you can do. There's no other words to add to these perfectly wise ethical standards to adhere to. Sometimes in life, the only thing you can say is, that's true. We do that in conversation. All right, number 2. The surrogate is responsible for fostering effective communication with the supervising therapist and the client. I strongly adhere to that. Number 3. The surrogate's primary responsibility is to the therapeutic situation of which the surrogate, the client, and the supervising therapist are integral parts. Within this situation, the chief focus and primary ethical responsibility is for the client's welfare. I strongly adhere to that. Number 4, the objectives and parameters of the therapeutic relationship shall be discussed with the client by the supervising therapist and the surrogate so that the client may make informed decisions. I strongly adhere to that. Number 5, the surrogate's relationship with the client is temporary, always within the context of the therapeutic situation and in association with the supervision of the therapist. I strongly adhere to that. Number 6, surrogates shall recognize the boundaries and limitations of their competence. They will not attempt to use methods outside the range of their training and experience. If they think that their clients will benefit from such methods, they will communicate this to the supervising therapist. I strongly adhere to that. Number 7, if a surrogate has a professional degree, certificate, license, or accreditation which applies to other than the surrogate work, the function of surrogate partner shall be primary while they are working as a surrogate partner. And I do strongly adhere to me having a professional accreditation, professional license, professional certificate, and professional degree. I will fulfill all the requirements of being a professional surrogate partner. I strongly adhere to that. Then it says, however, if there's an agreement between the surrogate and the supervising therapist that other methods and techniques within their competence are appropriate for the welfare of the client, the surrogate may use these additional skills. I strongly adhere to that. Number 8, if a supervising therapist is not available and a situation arises which would normally require consultation with the therapist, the surrogate is responsible for taking appropriate action for the welfare of the client. I strongly adhere to that. Number 9, the surrogate's responsibility for the welfare of the client continues until it is terminated by mutual agreement among client, surrogate, and therapist, or the client voluntarily terminates the therapy. I strongly adhere to that. Number 10, the identity of clients and all information received from or about them in the therapeutic situation shall not be communicated outside the therapeutic triangle without each client's express permission, except under the following conditions. I strongly adhere to that. Information about the client may be disclosed outside the therapeutic triad only, A, when there is a clear and imminent danger to individuals or society, and then only to appropriate professional colleagues or public authorities. I strongly adhere to that. For the purpose of professional consultation with appropriate professional colleagues, if the identities of individuals are disguised to protect confidentiality, I strongly adhere to that. Letter C, for presentation of information to professional or lay groups, if the identities of individuals are disguised to protect confidentiality, I strongly adhere to that. Number 11, surrogates shall be responsible for adequate precautionary measures against the transmission of communicable diseases and infections. I strongly adhere to that. It is the surrogate's responsibility to determine that the client has taken similar precautions. I strongly adhere to that. 12, it is the surrogate's responsibility to ensure protection against conception. I strongly adhere to that. Number 13, surrogates shall recognize that effectiveness in the therapeutic situation depends in part upon the surrogate maintaining independent, personally fulfilling social and sexual relationships. I strongly adhere to that. Number 14, to maintain optimal professionalism, surrogates are responsible for A, obtaining relevant continuing education. I strongly adhere to that already, and I strongly adhere to that once again. B, seeking prompt and effective help when personal problems arise. I strongly adhere to that. That's always been my mindset, and that will always and forever be my mindset. I strongly adhere to that. C, receiving adequate supervision for each case. Yes, hold us erotically accountable and sensually accountable. I strongly adhere to all the above. 15. Each member of IPSA who imparts information either publicly or privately about surrogate work or the organization shall indicate clearly whether the statements represent official IPSA policy or personal opinions. I strongly adhere to that. Number 16, members shall be aware that they may be regarded as representative of all surrogates and of IPSA even at times when they are not acting in these capacities. Therefore, their personal conduct should be such as to uphold the professional reputation of surrogate partners and of IPSA. I strongly adhere to that. Number 17, marketing and announcements shall be limited to name, accurate, and specific level of training, credentials, and affiliation with IPSA, contact information, a brief statement of methods used, and availability. I strongly adhere to that. Lastly, number 18, current and former supervising therapists shall be identified only if they have given the explicit permission for such disclosure. I strongly adhere to that. You see how easy that was for me? Let's keep going. It says IPSA membership, IPSA membership category, certified full members. That's going to be me. I'm telling you in advance. Working professional surrogate partners, me in the future, whose training and ethics have been evaluated by IPSA, again, me in the future. IPSA certified surrogate partners, for the last time, me in the future, agreed to honor the IPSA code of ethics, I do, to engage in relevant continuing education, to be routinely evaluated, and to be routinely evaluated for competence and professionalism by their peers. Y'all can hold me sexually accountable. I'm okay with that. I have no problem with it. I agree. Yes. Therapist member. Therapist with expertise in surrogate partner therapy. Candidates for therapist membership are sponsored by certified members of IPSA. I promise to work with credible therapists who are good-natured, good-hearted folks. And I promise to be a good-natured, good-hearted surrogate partner. And I promise to only work with good-natured, good-hearted clients. Now, intern member. Individuals who have successfully completed the first phase of surrogate partner training have been approved for internship, which is the second phase of training and evaluation of surrogate partners. I'm proud to be a future intern because I don't mind the surrogate partner process. I'm going to enjoy it. I already know. It says, intern members agree to comply with the IPSA Code of Ethics. You already know I'm going to do that. To accurately identify themselves as interns and to participate in multiple levels of supervision until they have successfully completed the internship and are approved for certification. Oh, I look forward to that day. That's going to be a proud day, proud moment, proud experience for me. Emeritus member. This honorary membership category is for former IPSA members who are determined to have made exemplary contributions to IPSA and to the field of surrogate partner therapy. I'm going to be an emeritus member. I already know. IPSA membership application process. Please direct membership and certification questions and applications to the IPSA membership committee. I'm going to do that soon, very soon. Requirements for each category of membership and application forms are available on our applications page. I'm going to use that quite shortly. Now, I'm just going through it. They're making it easy for me. It says, okay. So, I'm pretty much speaking until y'all get the point. So, I think I may make this part two. But I really want to answer the question before we even go to part two. To me, that's respectful. Here we go. It says, what is surrogate partner therapy? Surrogate partner therapy is a form of therapy based on the successful methods of Masters and Johnson. I've heard of them. I was amazed, pleasantly speaking, that you can actually be a sexual shining light, an erotic shining light, and a sensual shining light to an adult, as an adult myself, because it's adults working with adults. Everybody's adults. Therapist's an adult, the surrogate partner's an adult, and the client's an adult. It's all three of us. And I was like, okay, I want in on this. It says, in this therapy, a client, a therapist, and a surrogate partner form a three-person therapeutic team who together work to understand and resolve difficulties that a client is experiencing in their lives. The surrogate participates with the client in structured and unstructured experiences that are designed to build client self-awareness and skills in the areas of physical, emotional, and intimacy. I want to say this. I've talked to so many survivors of sexual disorders, reproductive disorders, infertility, pregnancy complications, unsafe abortions, rape culture survivors, domestic violence culture survivors, and child abuse survivors, adult abuse survivors, and they've told me, Antonio, you should create autism mom friendly porn, autism mom friendly erotica. They've told me I should create autism dad friendly porn, autism dad friendly erotica. They told me you should create neurodiversity, neurodistinct, neurodivergence friendly porn. You should create neurodiversity, neurodistinct, neurodivergence friendly erotica. They tell me you need to create sensory friendly porn, sensory friendly erotica. They said you need to create demisexual friendly erotica, demisexual friendly porn. They say you need to create sapiosexual friendly porn, sapiosexual friendly erotica. They say you need to create sapiophile friendly porn, sapiosexual and sapiophile friendly erotica. Sapiosexual friendly porn, sapiosexual friendly erotica, and sapiophile friendly porn, sapiophile friendly erotica. This is what they told me. They said we need you to produce it, direct it, star, produce all of them, direct all of them, star in all of them, market all of them, and distribute all of them, and produce all of them, and filmmake all of them. And I strongly agreed with them, and I still and always will. And they said you need to create rape survivor friendly porn, rape survivor friendly erotica. You need to create domestic violence survivor friendly porn, domestic violence survivor friendly erotica. And they said that, you know, you also gotta direct all of them, produce all of them, market all of them, distribute all of them, star in all of them, filmmake all of them, produce all of them, and star in all of them. I was just, and I strongly agree with them again. So I'm telling you, this is what I know I'm called to do. I'm gonna make a part two, because I know this is a lot, but let's keep going. It says, these therapeutic experiences include partner work and relaxation, effective communication, sensual sexual touching, and social skills training. I'll read one more, then I'll comment. Each program is designed to increase the client's knowledge, skills, and comfort. As the days pass, clients find themselves becoming more relaxed, more open to feelings, and more comfortable with physical and emotional intimacy. So, I'll say this off the top of my head, like I've been with the other comments. This is one of the reasons why even all these survivors have told me, Antonio, you should create the erotica version of the Oscars for us. You should create the porn version of the Oscars for us. That because the AVN, they call those Oscars of porn, but they're like, Antonio, your Oscars of porn would be better than theirs because they exclude us and you include us. So the Oscars of porn moniker should go to you, not the AVN. The AVN would have to adopt what you do. You don't have to adopt what they do. That's what these survivors told me. They said, Antonio, you need to create the sensual version of the Oscars. They said, Antonio, create the erotica version of the Grammys for us. Create the porn version of the Grammys for us. And create the sensual version of the Grammys for us. They said, create the erotica version of the Tonys for us. Create the porn version of the Tonys for us, create the sensual version of the Tonys for us. And then they told me, create the erotica version of the Emmys for us, create the porn version of the Emmys for us, and create the sensual version of the Emmys for us. I was like, wow. So I have to basically have to create the sexual Grammys, the sexual Oscars, the sexual Emmys, and the sexual Tonys. They said yes, all for us. And I strongly agree. Here we go. The involvement of the team therapist, a licensed / certified professional with a advanced degree, is a cornerstone of this therapy process. Clients often experience apprehension as they begin therapy and when they begin to experience changes. The team therapist assists the client with these and other emotional issues. Sessions with the therapist are interwoven with the surrogate partner sessions in order to facilitate understanding and change. Open, honest, consistent communication between all team members is a fundamental ingredient of successful surrogate partner therapy. Now, many people, like Kamala Harris in 1997, when she was, I believe, to be a major leader in the California legal system, that I can say for sure. She made this comment. She said, if it's under ethical adult supervision and it's referred by professionals and all adults are involved, no minors, and everyone consents, then it's not illegal. I'm paraphrasing what she said. So, who would know better than Kamala Harris than to give you the lawful perspective on IPSA? And she also, who would better than Kamala Harris, who's now our beloved vice president, could give us the reason part of IPSA. She mixed both in one with her statements. So I know I'm not breaking the law, and I know I'm not being unreasonable because I've checked. And it also makes me think that what I'm very proud of for myself is it's just the ability to really tune into the fact that we live in a world where there is so much erotic conflicts, sexual conflicts, sensual conflicts. There's a lot of sexual woes, erotic woes, and sensual woes. There's a lot of sexual sorrow, erotic sorrow, and sensual sorrow in this world. And people are counting on me to end these erotic nightmares, sexual nightmares, and sensual nightmares. They want wholesome sexual dreams, wholesome erotic dreams, wholesome sensual dreams to be their nutritious, nurturing sexual realities. Nurturing, nutritious, erotic realities. Nurturing, nutritious, sensual realities. So, here we go. Again, it says, open, honest, consistent communication between all team members is a fundamental ingredient of successful surrogate partner therapy. I had to read that again because also I'll say this and I'll keep going. There's a lot of people in the world who feel like, can I personify sex well? And my response is, yes, the fuck you can. And yes, the fuck you are. Can I personify eroticism well? Yes, the fuck you can. And yes, the fuck you are. Can I personify sensuality well? Yes, the fuck you can. And yes, the fuck you are. That's what I tell people. Now, it says, who needs surrogate partner therapy? The problems that motivate clients to seek surrogate partner therapy range from general anxiety in social situations to specific sexual dysfunctions. Concerns for any gender might result from one of the following: negative body image or physical disfigurement. That was some of my sex partners' experiences. Medical conditions. You already know that was some of my sex partners' experiences. I had the negative body image one because of trauma. And I had some medical conditions because of the trauma. Sexual, physical, or emotional abuse and slash or trauma, rape, or incest, for instance. Me and in some of my past sex partners had all of these compound villainy occurring against us. Intimacy issues, that's me and some of my past sex partners. Phobias and anxieties, me and my past sex partners. Unresolved relationship trauma, me and some of my past sex partners. Confusion about sexual orientation, me and some of my past sex partners. Lack of social or sexual self-confidence, me and some of my past sex partners. We overcame all of these specific sexual dysfunctions together as a sexually cohesive unit. It says, sexual concerns may include orgasmic inhibition, me and some of my past sex partners. Genital or pelvic pain, me and some of my past sex partners. Avoidance of physical slash emotional intimacy, me and some of my past sex partners. Lack of experience due to anxious avoidance, me and some of my past sex partners. Common sexual issues for male clients include erectile difficulties, ED. Sometimes that was me. Rapid ejaculation, PE. Sometimes that was me. Ejaculatory inhibition. Sometimes that was me. My sex partners and I helped me to overcome erectile difficulties, ED. They helped me to overcome rapid ejaculation, PE. And they helped me to overcome ejaculatory inhibition. We overcame all these common sexual issues for men together, me and some of my past sex partners. So it says female client sexual issues might include vaginismus, involuntary contraction of vaginal muscles resulting in painful penetration. Some of my women partners had that, and I helped them to overcome that with them. Vulvodynia. Some of my women sex partners had that, and I helped them to overcome that with them. Limited or non-existent orgasms. I helped them to overcome that, meaning some of my past women sex partners. It says, clients of any gender may seek therapy to address problems relating to fear and avoidance of sexual emotional intimacy, me and some of my past sex partners. Lack of relationship experience, me and some of my past sex partners. Shame or anxiety regarding sex, me and some of my past sex partners. Low arousal or lack of sexual desire, me and some of my past sex partners. We overcome all those problems together. We were each other's surrogate partner therapy back then. It says, surrogate and client interactions. Learning how to develop healthy relationships, how to touch and to receive touch, and how to be more accepting of one's body and sexuality are important aspects of this process. Care is taken to ensure that the client is ready for each new step as the client and surrogate partner gradually progress through experiences that are simultaneously diagnostic, skill building, and healing. That makes me think of something. that I absolutely want to tell you about. What's the best way to talk about this? I remember that we did pretty much everything that was needed, that I didn't even know that surrogate therapy persons did. For example, we did what is called body mapping, and I didn't even know that body mapping was a thing. It was just something we did, and I was like, oh wow, I didn't know that this is something that surrogate partners actually did. This was something I did with some my sex partners back then. For example, we did what is called body mapping, and I was like, we did something that wasn't told to us. I think it was just in us to do. And I'll tell you what that is. This is from Vanessa Marin. And I'll just say, I'll tell you what we did. She says, one of the best parts of my job as a professional sex relationship therapist, helping couples. Hey, even if y'all are not couples, you can still benefit from sex therapy and relationship therapy too. Come up with fun and playful ways of experimenting with their sex lives. Today I'm sharing a few of the exercises that have been most popular with my clients. Try them out with your partner tonight. If you're interested in learning how exercises like these can help improve the communication, intimacy, and sexuality relationship, call 415-658-5738 or visit my appointments page to set up a consultation. So first, print out a handful of copies of human body outlines, like, you know, I'll put the link in so you can see it yourself in the episode description. But I'm going to basically tell you, this is what me and my some of my past sex partners did. Take one copy for yourself and give the other to your partner. We did that back then. Take a few moments to think about what your ideal foreplay session would be in this moment. Think about which places on your body would want to be touched. We did that back then. Think of how you would order those places and write numbers onto the body outline based on the order that you come up with. We did that back then. For example, you might want to first be touching your cheek, then your neck, and then your shoulders, and so on. We did a lot of that back then. Base the order on what you're feeling in this particular moment. It's okay if it would be completely different on another night. When you're finished, share your list with your partner and have them share their list with you. We did that back then. Everything she's saying, we did that back then. I didn't even know that was body mapping. I just wanted us to bodily heal ourselves. You can do something that professionals go, actually, this is the correct terminology for what y'all are doing. Oh my. It says, there are many other variations of the exercises that you can try. You can overlay this additional information on top of your outlines to use a new outline for each variation. We did that back then. We didn't even watch any sex therapy videos or any surrogate partner therapy videos. We didn't. We came up with the ideas on our own. It says, write a sentence or two about how you would like to be touched any particular part of your body. We did that back then. You might want to have your back tickled, your thigh kneaded, or your cheek caressed. We did so much of that back then. Try to be as specific as possible. Oh, yeah, we absolutely were back then. Consider what kind of pressure you might like, the speed, the emotional tone of the contact, and the amount of time you would want your partner to spend there. Oh, we did an overabundance of these things back then. It says, you could include what part of your partner's body you would like them to touch each specific part of your body with. For example, you might wish to have them touch your throat with their lips, your belly with the palm of their hand, your feet with their feet, or your ear with their tongue. We did a lot of that back then. And I'm not stealing her experience. I shit you not. This is what the fuck we did back then. It says, try mapping out your safe zones and off-limits areas. We did that back then. This exercise can be particularly impactful for someone who has undergone sexual physical abuse or anyone who has a strong aversion to being touched in specific places. So we did that back then. We came up with our own emotionally soft words. Because in order to have emotional safety, you need emotional softness. That's what we told each other back then. And we came up with words, not just, we came up with word, emotional soft words to indicate emotional danger or emotional safety. So it wasn't just emotional words of softness. We came up with emotional soft gestures to have emotional safe gestures. So that's what we use to sexually safeguard, erotically safeguard, and essentially safeguard one another and ourselves. So we even did alphabetical numbers and numerations to help us out with, okay, sexually, erotically, essentially, thumbs up. That's what we did. We did our version of it. Sexually, erotically, essentially, don't, thumbs down. And what you might be interested in erotically, essentially, and sexually doing, we did a sideways thumb. It's in the middle of yay or nay. It's like, maybe, M-A-Y-B-A-Y. That's what we came up with. Maybe, slang for maybe. If you ever have been with your partner for a long time, you may be surprised to see how little or how much they enjoy being touched in parts of their body. We did a lot of that knowledge, explorative excursions back then. It says, create a map of what you enjoy about touching a partner's body. You may love stroking their collarbone, licking their happy trail, massaging their feet. We did so much of these back then. We were each other's masseuses. We were each other's spa massagers. We did a lot of erotic massages back then. I didn't even know it was called that, but we were doing that. It says, after you've completed your maps, take some time to share them, discuss them with your partner. Do you notice any similarities between your maps? What about differences? We had graphic discussions about these with each other that were quite respectful. Are you surprised by your partner's maps? Do either of these maps stir up any reactions? Are you both willing to try touching each other in ways you've mapped out? Oh, we verbalized it and then we actually did it. And let's just say, those were the most unforgettable, relentless, adrenaline rushing, screaming O's orgasms that we've ever had in life. Here we go. It says, okay, I'll stop right there so we can do part 2.